Usually we have a message on Mission Sunday, and I give it as leader of the group. But the other day, I asked Ray if he would share something from his heart. You know, you guys get tired of listening to me. I get tired of listening to me. And plus, I don't like to do anything. So what I did is I asked Ray to prepare a short message on how God has touched him and how he's used him and prepared him for this team. I want to tell you something. I've thrown a lot on this man's plate this year. And he's responded admirably to every challenge that we've given him. And I just felt it appropriate that he bring forth the word this morning. Amen. He's going to bring forth the word, and we have a song after that, and we're going to present the men with a little gift, and we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to wrap it up today. But you can see, there, you know, and like you know, Ray said, this is just a small touch of what we're going to do out on the mission field. There's a lot of logistics, a lot of things that we have to have and ready to roll. And so you can imagine doing this in the temperature being about 100, 105 degrees out. You know, and so we really try to prepare ourselves. So I'm going to ask that we're going to keep the kids in. We just have the nursery open. If you have young kids and they get a little bit restless, you can take them down. We're not going to be much longer, but we're going to pray for Ray, and we're going to prepare our hearts this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. Father, as Ray brings forth this word today, Father, we pray that we would all, Lord, just have a sense of urgency when it comes to sharing our faith, with whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in Yemen or India, or whether it's in Detroit or in the workplace. Father, we pray that you would bless him, that your anointing would be upon him. We thank you, Lord, for his heart. We thank you for where you brought him from and where you're taking him to. Bless his time and bless our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Well, as you all can tell, this was Missions Sunday service. It's all about giving you a taste of what we're going to be doing when we're out there on the field. And so anyway, I asked myself, why do we go on missions, on the missions trips? Well, it's because Jesus tells us to. But the command came straight from God himself. Remember, Jesus always looked to his Father in heaven for what he should do. And he tells us this in John 12. He says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Thank you very much, brother. I know that this command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. This brings us to Matthew, the Great Commission, and that's what we're doing. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." The Lord has been speaking to me for several weeks now, and he's been telling me that I need to step out more. And so I just wanted to show you this shirt that we're going to be using in Mexico. It's a very nice shirt, but on the back it has a message, and it says, "Por tanto, vayan y hagan discípulos de todas las naciones." And that's exactly what he was saying. He's saying, go out to the nations and make disciples of them. So I just wanted to show you that. Thank you very much. It's very important that we do that. So anyway, he had been speaking to me for several weeks, telling me that I have to step out in faith and getting out of my comfort zone. Well, Pastor Don and I had met a few weeks over to go over our itinerary for this trip, for this Sunday service, I should say. And so after going over the songs, he's writing them on the computer and the skits and everything else, he said he was going to give the message. Well, at that time, the Lord had spoke to me and said that he wanted me to give the message. But with Pastor Don going over everything that he was doing, you know, typing in here and there, and I didn't think that I would have the opportunity to say, "Hey, Pastor, you know, would you mind if I did it?" But he turned to me. He said, "Unless you want to do it." So at first I thought that that he was joking, because he just knew that the answer would be no. Because I'm not that person that steps out like that. But I was quickly quickly informed by the Lord that, you know, he makes ways where there's no way. So he had put it on the pastor's heart, same way he had put it on mine, but I kind of hesitated a little bit, and he just made sure that it happened. So here I am before you to give you this little message. I really have a new admiration for and respect for what the pastors have to go through, because I've been working on this for 2 weeks. I don't have the memory, a very good one, but they have to do a lot. And on top of doing the message every Sunday, they have to take care of their flock, you know, take care of the sheep and keep them from killing each other or just keep feeding them. I'm just kidding about that, but to keep feeding them, you know, and keep pouring into God. And it's just amazing what they do. So without hesitation, I said, sure. Pastor Don, he quickly turned to his computer and typed my name in where his was, as if to lock me in. So that was it. It was done. And here I am today. But how quickly does that devil move? As quickly as I was excited, he put doubt in my head, you know? And but then I had to go back to Peter and think about him. Sorry. I had to think about Peter in Matthew when he said, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Well, come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." But immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" That's what he was telling me. He gave me something to do. Why do I have to doubt him? He's always with us, no matter what. And he's not going to give us anything that he hasn't equipped us to do. He won't give us any more than we can handle. He'll stretch us, but he wants to see how far we're willing to go for him. "Well, here I am, Lord, stepping out of the boat, out of my comfort zone, and into the unknown. I'm taking my feet off of the sure footing that they're on right now, and I'm putting them into the water, because I know with all certainty that if I take my eyes off you for even a moment, that you'll extend your hand to me. Because I am his and he is mine. I trusted and obeyed the Lord, and because of this, I'm here speaking to all of you today." Philippians 4 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." We've all stepped out of our comfort zones in one way or another. It takes a lot to sing songs in Spanish when you don't understand what you're saying. A lot of us still don't. English is my first language. Spanish, you know, I still don't know a lot of the words. But, you know, we try. We put ourselves out there. We have faith. Acting skits, working with the puppets, those are hard jobs to do. And they can be a bit scary when you're doing them in front of people you don't know. It's easier when we're here in front of you because you're our family. We see you all the time, you know, and we know that you love us no matter what, unconditionally. But when we go out in the field, it's different. We worry about people, and there are people who will be hecklers, you know. They'll look at you. They'll sneer. They'll make you feel like who are you, you know, because they don't know God. 11 of us went to Armando's restaurant in Southwest Detroit for lunch and to get some practice singing in front of people. So Donna, Pastor Don, Rachel, and I got up, and we sang our songs. Donna sang, then Rachel, then I. Now, for Donna and I, it was familiar territory, and we did pretty good. Rachel, who has such a beautiful voice and does an excellent job here in the church, she got gun-shy, just a bit. She kind of closed her eyes instead of connecting with the people. And she didn't really belt it out like she does over here. She sang she was a little more reserved. But she got through it. And the good thing is that was just a little taste. That was a little practice. And just like when you're walking, you know, it takes that first step. You're going to stumble. You're going to trip. But you know what? The next step's going to be a whole lot easier. So the next time that we go out there and sing someplace, it's going to be a whole lot easier for her again, you know. And it's going to get easier and easier and easier. So we were a blessing to them. And in turn, they blessed us. When it came time to pay the bill, now there was 11 of us, Pastor Don asked the waitress, and she said, there is no bill. It turned out that two of the people, it looked like they were a married couple, but they took care of the entire bill. It was 11 of us. In Hebrews 11, it says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him and must believe in him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And that's what happened to us. We're seeking the Lord, and when you do that, the blessings come. I know that because of my life from before to now, when I started to search for God and let him in. A lot of you know all that he has done for me and my wife. He's restored our relationship. He's given me a real nice job. He's given me a home. I mean, it's amazing. And he continues to bless us daily. My wife looks at me with pride now that I'm changing and I'm stepping out in faith. He's made me more confident about myself and in what I can do. He's allowed me to use his house, because that's what we consider. It's his house where we stay to have gatherings and fellowship with all of you. And in doing so, friendships were formed, new friendships were formed, friendships that we'll keep near in our hearts and minds for the rest of our lives. Before, I couldn't even have people over the house if I wanted to because my apartment was so small. But God took care of that problem. Now we have people over quite a bit. Thank you, God. It's a blessing. Take up your cross, Jesus says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But it's not easy. It's not always easy to pick up your cross. An example of this is the rich young man. Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away very sad. He was grieving because he had owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, truly I say to you that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. This mission trip doesn't come without sacrifice. It's taken quite a bit of money. It's also taken up a lot of time. With me as the worship leader, I have spent a lot of my time trying to go over songs, learning them, trying to decide who'll sing what, practicing with the worship team every chance I could since about January. Preparing for that alone took a lot of time. Cleaning of the yard, mowing the grass, setting up chairs, tables, musical instruments, the equipment, starting the bonfires. It was a struggle, but I finally got Carmen to do all those things. Thank you for her willing heart. But I also sacrificed time with my wife. A lot of us have sacrificed time with our loved ones, our children, in our family. But it's for the good. It's for the sake of, it's for the sake of spreading the good word of Jesus Christ. I feel so blessed to be going on the mission field with fellow believers who have made even greater sacrifices than me. Pastor Don's father is in and out of the hospital all the time. Sister Carol, she's leaving behind her husband who just had surgery. Don't think for a moment it doesn't bother her, but she knows that she's been called for a job to do with the Lord. My wife sacrifices her health to go to Mexico, with her bad legs. She's also had to endure me, my struggles, frustrations, joys in some way. But this whole team has a story to tell as what they've had to do and give up to be able to go to this missions trip. It's amazing. It really is. How everybody's gotten together all the time, at the house and here at church after Sunday service, we get together and sing some songs, and their willingness to continue to try and get better and to grow, to get closer to the Lord so that they can go out and actually do what he has called them to do. But going out and telling his people about Jesus, telling people about Jesus is very important to God. He wants his children to know of his Son and to accept him as their Lord and Savior so that they may live all eternity with him. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us saints. And it says right there, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that's very important. There's a lot of people out there that don't know of Christ. And it's our job as Christians to make sure that we can tell people exactly our testimony, to share through that. People are touched when you tell them how God has changed you, and it gives them hope. I know that sharing my testimony during the men's breakfast, you know, some people had approached me and said, hey, they needed to hear this, you know. Matthew 19 says, Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father or mother, children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. So see, with the sacrifices, the Lord can bless you. And he promises to give you these things. The people on this team have really been blessings to us. Just watching how they're being obedient to the task that the Lord has presented them with. I think of Caitlin. I think of Caitlin. She doesn't even come to this church, but is coming with us on this missions trip. The heart that you have to have, because that's how he loves us. He pours his heart into us. And so to do this for God, you have to have that heart. And you can get that heart. He'll give it to you. Just draw close to him. Get a relationship with God. She's still coming, even though pastor's always messing with her. I mean, talk about just trusting, you know. I mean, it's awesome. Ashley's only been coming for about a year. And is putting God first. She's even been bringing her parents to church with her. She's expanding the kingdom. That's also what we're called to do, right? To grow our family. And every time you speak with someone and you let them know about what God has done in your life, you share that with them. You get them to want to know him more. Because a lot of people get jealous of what you have. And they want that. I don't have a lot. I'm not rich. I don't have riches. But you know what? I have joy in my heart. I always have a smile on my face. And I show that at work, and I show that out. And people see that, and they, man, this guy on drugs or something? Well, that was my previous life. That was back then. I'm different now, you know. Madison, I think of her, you know. She was coming to the missions meetings even without going to Mexico. She didn't even plan on going to Mexico. She just wanted to come hang out at the meetings. I don't know if they were given free food or what, but, you know, there she was. But the Lord had other plans for her. John Lewis, he even approached a pastor and volunteered to sing, bring in his own songs that he learned on his own. I didn't know he could sing. I didn't know he could play. And the first time I got with him to practice, he pulls out a three-sheeter. I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, and it's in Spanish. It's like, who knew? But everybody has a gifting, you know, and you can use that to advance the kingdom. You can use that, you know, to please God. Everything we do, you know, it should be to please the Father. These are just few of the many blessings that I could think of here on the home front. On the mission field in 2010, when I went for my first missions trip, I was humbled by some of the things that I saw. I realized quickly that old saying that someone's always worse off than you. And boy, was that true. It was sad to see the conditions that the people had to live. Families living in little shacks, barely enough to fit mom and dad, let alone multiple kids. people asking for prayers that they would be healed from the pain in their stomachs from drinking bacteria-filled water that they collected from streams where the animals would bathe, and I'm sure that they've had to relieve themselves too. But God still manages to bring some joy and laughter to the place. I witnessed young children running, jumping, playing, having the time of their life. And all they were doing was pushing a steel bicycle rim. It didn't even have rubber on it. It was one rim. And they were just rolling it down the dirt. It was crazy to see, you know, how they would have so much fun with just that. But it just shows you that God, even in the midst of your troubles and stuff, he can still shine the light. He can still give you some joy. I think they're oblivious to the fact that they're poor. I think that they have no clue that they're not living the way they should be living. The younger kids, anyway. I know the older folks, you know, they do. But the kids, God still gives them the joy. I mean, I remember as a kid playing with sticks and stuff like that, you know, but we still had other things. I mean, can you imagine that all they had was that bicycle rim? Our kids have Xboxes. One Xbox alone would probably take them a month to make, you know, that money to support their family on. We've got a lot compared to them, and that's when I realized, you know what? There's always someone worse off. I thank God for everything that I have, because I wouldn't have had it without him. I even saw two kids playing in a pool. I know none of you except for those who have seen it themselves would guess when I say pool what they were in. It was an old refrigerator laid on its side with no door, and they filled it with water. But those kids had fun. They were in there. They were cool. Even though in that summer heat, they still had the water, so it's, you know, it's a lot cooler. But they had fun, and that was God all up in there. You know, he didn't want them to see, you know, the conditions that they're in. He makes it seem like it's normal. And when you think it's normal, it doesn't bother you so much. People invited us into their homes, which they were so proud of. Here, we'd call the city and have them condemn it, because it's dangerous, to say the least, let alone you having children in it. They're sweeping up dirt floors. How do you sweep dirt? But they were so proud to invite you into their homes. It was everything that they had. They were so glad to share it with you. They invite you in. There's a sofa with no legs. They might have a rock underneath it. Or down the hall, they've got a room with a little bucket for a toilet. And it humbles you. It makes you think, wow, I can't wait to get home so I can get into my little porcelain throne, you know, that I've got running water. We saw people get saved. And that was the whole point of going, is to get people saved so that they can know Jesus. Two of our brothers are not able to go, Matt and Eddie. Well, we're not sure about Matt yet. We still have time for Matt. And I figured that the devil was up to his old tricks again and not letting them go. Then I thought, wait a minute. Maybe it was God not allowing them to go. It doesn't always have to be the devil. I spoke earlier of the young man, the young rich man. Now let me share about the former demoniac in Mark 5:1-20. It says, after a dramatic exorcism, the former demoniac wants to follow Jesus and continue on with Jesus. Jesus was leaving this man's city. This man simply wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with the man who had saved his life and has shown such great compassion to him. Jesus would have none of it. Jesus told him to go home and proclaim the great news to his family and his friends. It would have been easier for the former demoniac if he had just followed Jesus into the other towns and villages. But Jesus was not interested in what was easy. Jesus wanted others to hear and see living testimony of God's compassion. No doubt this man would have faced ridicule, shame, and relive some of his past memories through the conversations he would face. Everyone knew this former demoniac had been crazy and was a sinner. But Jesus had said, go. So that is what he did. This man traveled to the surrounding cities and proclaimed what Jesus had done for him. See, so sometimes it's not about going out there. I mean, we might rush. Pastor always says, he says, pray about it. You want to go on a missions trip? Pray about it. Listen to what God has to say, because it may not be for you. Let God lead you. Let him tell you what's for you or not. On one hand, Jesus wanted the rich man to follow him, but he knew that he wouldn't, because he knows where his heart was and where his treasure is. And on the other hand, the demoniac really wanted to follow Jesus and would do anything to do so. But Jesus had other plans for him. Matt has said that he's not going to Mexico, and that the only way that he would go is if God himself would put him there. He has said this in the past. He's fought it. No, I'm not going. I wouldn't go to Mexico. But has also since had a change of heart. Perhaps the Lord sees that, I'm in the wrong spot. But since has had a change of heart and has been trying anything he could to get his boss to allow the trip. Eddie for years has said no and even made excuse after excuse as to why he couldn't go to Mexico. But has also since had a change of heart. Praise God. Perhaps the Lord sees that they have had a desire to go with us to do what God has willed. But the Lord is keeping them back for a season for their desire to become even stronger. Then that way, all that they would have done on this trip out of love for God would be magnified 100 times. Because the more your love grows for him, the more you want to do for him. The Lord will be glorified, though, no matter what. And his will be done, no matter what. Whether it's in it, whether it is us that has a hand in it or others. So even though they may not be able to go, they can still pray for us. They can still do God's work here. Because you don't have to travel far, like to Mexico where we're going, or to Yemen, or any place like that. You don't have to go far to be on the mission field. You can just go right outside those doors right there. There are so many people that need to hear about Jesus. They need Jesus in their life. That reminded me of a tape I had my daughter one time. I recorded her, and I says, "What'd you say?" She goes, "I said I need Jesus in my life." I'm like, "Amen. Amen. Keep that thought. And as a matter of fact, and when you forget, I'm going to play it for you." So take the opportunity when it presents itself, or better yet, make it present itself. But just remember, 1 Peter 4 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I pray that we all continue to be obedient to his word and his will for our lives, so that we can grow to our full potential in Christ, stepping out of the boat as Peter did. Because I tell you what, I'd rather be the one who stepped out of the boat than the 11 who stayed back. And that's what we need to do. Always step out for Christ, because look what he's done to step out for us. Pastor, I know you said you gave me a time limit, and I don't think I came close to it, but that's all I have. I pray that you've been blessed by it. And I thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. You know, once again, he just touched a little bit on everything that, you know, all these people, the sacrifices that were made. I'm going to ask right now all the fathers to come forward. And we're going to pray over them. Then we're going to close in prayer for the team. I appreciate your patience today. I know we've gone a little bit long. We're going to get you out of here. You know, I think Ray touched on it very well. He wanted to be about his father's business. And we have a father that looks out after our every need. We wouldn't be sitting here if he hadn't called us, if he hadn't chosen us. And we all know where we came from. We all know what we had to go through. We may not have the struggle Ray did or what have you, but I can guarantee you there was a Heavenly Father that was looking out for you. And so these men that stand here, you know, these are really the backbone of the church. These are godly men. Many of them have been serving the Lord for many, many years. And, you know, as one of the pastors here, and I know I echo Pastor John's sentiment on this, that this church would not be as strong as it is without the men that are here and the men that love Christ. And like Ray said, willing to get out of that boat and to walk on the water and to go places that God has called them to. So we're going to pray a blessing over them, and we're going to close in prayer. I thank you once again for your patience. We do ask that you pray for the mission team the upcoming week and a half. Candace and Carmen already down there, getting all the making all the necessary arrangements, and we pray for their protection too. But let's pray right now and thank God for the fathers in our life. Father, I give you thanks for these men. I thank you, dear Lord, for these men who stand here today. And stand here not just as men, but men of God. Men who have bowed their knee to you, who proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and are not afraid, do not shrink back, but boldly proclaim that fact to the world. Father, on this Memorial Day, we thank you for them. We thank you that we have a Heavenly Father, as I said, who has blessed us, and we acknowledge you. May our hearts burn even brighter to serve you. Lord, may everything we do be for your glory. And Father, we just pray a blessing on these men. And we also lift up the mission team too as we go forth this week. Lord, keep us safe. Give us wisdom. Give us favor. Prepare the way before us. Father, we ask you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We do have coffee and donuts. Amen. Let's give it a hand for the ministry team there. I want to thank Ray and Carol and everybody. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs. Stick around, fellowship a little bit. May God bless you. Have a wonderful Father's Day today. In Jesus' name, amen.